Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch Premier League, Women's Super League, Scottish Premiership and much more. Live on Sky Sports.
Here in studio, we have Mick McCarthy, we have Arthur O'D, we have Ronan Mullen. You've all stepped in. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Joe.
It's hard to know if you want that in unison or not.
The enthusiasm.
I know, yeah. Sometimes on the Brendan O'Connor show, he says it and then he doesn't get an answer back and
you
he says
hear
it all
a lot
again.
Of rustling of newspapers.
Hi. So, a few things going on. We wanted to touch on a piece that you spotted earlier on, Arthur, which caught everybody's imagination. We were talking about pieces to do on the show this evening, and you said that Daniel Taylor in The Athletic had written a long article basically talking to various people in and around the time of the Roy Keane MUTV tape. And I think everybody's interest straight away was piqued.
Well, I want to give the full credit to Ronan because he mentioned it, but
okay.
I did click on it this morning, funnily enough, looking through the papers and stuff this morning. And saw it straight away and I was like, there'll be nothing in this of new. It was like, we're not going to find out it was on the tape. More so, that's kind of what my thinking was. Now there's nothing in it. We're not finding out it was on that tape.
Yeah.
Still clicked through it. Still read it in one go.
Oh, big time. Well, I mean, isn't it amazing, really, this that all these years later, the tape has never leaked out? That is the extraordinary thing. I would, in 2005, when this happened, if I was to say to you in 2022,
yeah,
do you still think we won't know verbatim what's on the tape? You would have said, it'll come out somewhere along the way.
Yeah, especially, you know, in more recent times when, you know, leaks and social media and et cetera, you would expect to come out. One of the greatest pieces of imagery in Daniel's piece, though, is the idea of David Gill locking the tape in an actual vault somewhere deep in Manchester United Towers. Is it in Carrington or Old Trafford? I don't know, but I did love that image, I have to say. But yeah, like, what could be so wrong with this that we will never, ever see?
No.
And, you know, there's so much as to why we will never see it. Is it because it's not that bad? And Roy Keane was, you know,
dry touch
over the coals over it. Yeah.
Well, there's loads in this. So to try and bring you through it in parts, certainly. So, like, it starts off in that it's great in that Daniel Taylor has spoken to various different people. So, for instance, you love a piece that starts with, it was early evening, the sun was starting to go down when Bob Farrar broke off his holiday. And instantly you're thinking, I've no idea who Bob Farrar is, but I'm delighted he's part of this story. So Bob Farrar, it turns out, was MUTV editor-in-chief. Now, he was in Gran Canaria on holidays and he started getting all these phone calls from journalists. Now, he says, the only good thing, I suppose, is that at least my hands are clean. I was out of the country and had the perfect alibi.
I actually argue that Bob isn't blameless in this situation because they had a rotation of guys coming on and doing MUTV.
Yeah.
Don't go on holidays when it's Roy's turn.
Well,
the injured, disillusioned captain.
There is that. So David Gill, it says here in the piece by Daniel Taylor, in The Athletic, which you should definitely read as well, made sure that the tapes have never been seen by taking possession of them. Nobody outside of the club has ever seen the tape. Almost certainly nobody ever will. And maybe that suits United for it to be that way because, in the words of one former MUTV employee, the truth is it was, quote, made into a monster that it was not. So on we go. He quotes Rooney, who's very much on the record. And Rooney said publicly before that he remembers watching it in the office when Ferguson called him up. And he said, to be fair, it wasn't that bad. But he said the argument between Keane and Ferguson was very bad. So we skip to October 29, 2005. United lose 4-1 at Middlesbrough. Roy Keane has an ankle injury. He's watching in a Dubai hotel. So Keane has a long flight home to think about this awful performance. And then it turns out it's his turn to go on Play the Pundit, which is the name of the programme. 30-minute MUTV show, Play the Pundit. Every Monday you have to do it. Steve Bauer, who you'll now know as BBC Match of the Day commentator, he was the one asking Keane the questions. So if we're not getting Steve Bauer on the show anytime soon under false pretenses and segue into this, we're just not trying. No, Steve, we want to talk about what it's like to be a Match of the Day
commentator. It must be one of the greatest honours of your life, following in the greats.
And then they all, oh, there's actually a text in.
10 seconds in.
So anyway.
This hasn't been broadcast, is it? Just in case Steve's listening.
Yeah. And so he was there. And Kira Barlow, then MUTV's head of football, was producing the show. Don't know if any relation to Gary. Roy had
Or Ken.
Roy had done two live phone-ins with MUTV in the past. And one of those was near the knuckle too, said an anonymous source. That's further to your point about Bob being Gran Canaria.
Yeah. Bob.
Yeah.
All your fault.
Now, here's the other thing. I had always imagined this in my head for all these years as if it was Keane in a suit. after the match has just been shown, like doing the punditry role.
Yeah.
That's not what this is at all. This is done on the Monday. So it says Keane is in his kit, fresh from training, when he takes a seat. So already the mental imagery is slightly different here. Now, at this stage, Keane has sent through instructions that if MUTV is getting half an hour of his time, writes Daniel Taylor, he did not want his words to be edited. There had been a couple of previous interviews where the odd sentence had been taken out, and typical Keane, he had noticed and was not happy about it. So here we go to Joe Evans, one of the MUTV interviewers and commentators from the time. My recollections are from seeing snippets of it and thinking that there was nothing untoward about it. There was nothing you wouldn't expect. He wasn't vindictive. He wasn't vitriolic. He was honest. But what else would you expect? There was never a point when I thought, whoa, what's he said? It was just Roy Keane speaking from the heart. It wasn't unduly harsh. Wasn't personal. Wasn't targeted. He would never do that. Roy used to go to all the reserve games on Thursday nights and stand in the cold and the wind and the rain and watch these young players that he'd been accused of criticising. And he adds, the Middlesbrough game really was one of the worst games I'd ever seen United play. Now, Ferguson's relationship with MUTV comes into this. Paul Anthony had said on the show previously that he preferred United playing 4-4-2 to the 4-5-1 system they were currently playing. Ferguson boycotted MUTV. So anyway, Keane does his thing. David Gill hears about it very quickly. Ferguson is called at home. He and Gill watch the video, decide there's no way it could go out. The show, filmed at lunchtime, due to be screened at 6:30 p.m, disappeared from the schedule an hour beforehand, was replaced by an old feature in the club's academy. And when that was finished, a documentary about Gary Pallister.
Of course.
Why didn't they just show what was supposed to be on after it if they've already changed the programming?
I think the documentary about Gary Pallister was pre-planned, to be fair. But it said it came on as scheduled without a word of explanation as to what had happened to play the pundit. So, the details are leaked. The Keane Gate tapes were splashed over four pages in the Daily Mirror under the billing of Scoop of the Season and the headline, Keane, We Should Get Rid of Performers. So what I didn't fully, well, I mean, I should have appreciated it, but you don't really think too much about these things. There is a mass hunt for the mole inside Old Trafford. The leak was rumoured to have cost the Mirror a sizeable fee, and what has never been reported until now is that it led to an internal inquiry at Old Trafford to root out the mole. All of this, as Daniel Taylor, helps to explain why all these years later, there's a level of unease, paranoia, even among some MUTV staff from the time, even those who've moved on years ago. Very few have been willing to discuss what happened, even off the record. So when one member of staff, on the basis of anonymity, says, nobody thought for a minute it was going to lead to Roy Keane exiting the club. There was this huge investigation into whoever leaked it to the Mirror. There were lots of theories. The leak created a lot of issues behind the scenes and a lot of bad feeling that probably still exists to this day. Now, where are we? Oh yeah, Dan Taylor. This is an epic. So, Keane, of course, he says, has always maintained the interview blown out of proportion. And ultimately, it should have been Ferguson apologising to him. He didn't attend the unveiling of Ferguson's statue. He wasn't among the players invited to Ferguson's film premiere last year, and the relationship is broken. On the same flight from Paris to Manchester a few years ago, the two men were a few seats apart. They did not even manage a simple hello, never mind a handshake or any other pleasantries, which I guess is quite sad. So Ferguson says Roy described Kieran Richardson as a lazy defender and wondered why people in Scotland raved about Darren Fletcher. And said of Rio Ferdinand, just because you're paid 120 grand a week and play well for 20 minutes against Tottenham, you think you're a superstar. Jesus, it was unbelievable. He slaughtered everyone. Darren Fletcher got it. Alan Smith, Van der Sar, Roy was taking them all down. And then there's the famous line where Van der Sar, in the meeting in Ferguson's office, suggested that Keane's tone could have been different in the video. To which Keane said, Edwin, why don't you shut the F up? You've been at this club 2 minutes and you've done more interviews than I've done in 12 years.
We don't even need to see the footage of that one. That definitely happened.
The interesting comment, I hadn't seen this from Johnny Evans. The general feeling, he says, was that he was treated badly. I've reflected on this for years, and I wonder sometimes whether it was used or manipulated to get him out. This guy had won everything, blood, sweat and tears, getting booted out because of a half-hour show in which he was invited to give his opinions. No, there's something not right there. I didn't think Johnny Evans would be that strong about it.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, it did always seem like the young players who he supposedly gone after were the ones that had the least issues with it. Because at the time, United still had this brilliant culture. They obviously won a load more league titles between, 2005 and 2013. And, there was still that Ferguson Keane culture of expecting the most, and all the young guys kind of knew that this was the way it was. It seemed like it was the Ferdinands and the Van der Sar's that had the bigger issue with it. You know?
Apparently it says as well that Keane denies ever bringing Ferdinand's salary into it, and Ferdinand totally accepts that and buys that. So there doesn't seem to be...
Does Keane remember everything he said in a half an hour live interview that he probably
does he have a copy of the tape?
He probably thought it wasn't a big deal at the time as well, don't forget, you know?
Yeah, I wonder. It would be very interesting to know what he thought after he had done it. You know, half hour... blasts everyone, walks back into the canteen. Roy, how was Play the Pundit? What do you think he said? Yeah, it's good.
It's an amazing. To go back to that thing, there's so many, there's so many situations with the tapes. It's like that thing with, you know, Frost Nixon. When Frost throws, I'm like, why didn't you destroy the tapes? I just love the fact of them being unearthed. This mole, Deep Throat, in there leaking everything out.
Let's talk about the mole, though.
Mole didn't do a very good job.
No.
The mole should have been leaking that tape.
Well, there's a great line as well. This just gets how angry Ferguson is. So the next game after the tape, 4,000 United fans singing Keane's name in the away end against Lille, Champions League. The mood fell mutinous. United lost again. They're having this awful season, you remember. Chelsea run away with the league. And Daniel Taylor says, the previous day, checking in for the flight at Manchester Airport, Ferguson was asked by Fraser Denton of Sky Sports News.
Poor Fraser.
Whether the club had any comment about Keane. Off air, Ferguson told him, that's you finished at the club. To which Fraser said, I don't know what Fraser said.
Fraser should have got a job at MUTV and Ferguson would have never known.
Yeah.
On the Frost Nixon point, like, Ferrer and Brooks are friends here. Like, these lads need a reality check. Former news journalist, they said, think MUTV should be, you know, not peddling the party line. It's like, who do these lads think they're working for? Isn't NPR.
Well, one of them,
60 Minutes.
One of them says to Taylor that he would only talk more in his own autobiography should he release one.
Should he release one?
So,
Mole, though, let's, like, you know, it wouldn't be unusual, history would have taught us, for the person, in fact, looking for the mole to, in fact, be the mole. Mm. You know, and I'm not, like, we don't have a clue, but would it be out of the realms of possibility that Manchester United, let's say, as an entity rather than any individual, were the ones behind the leaking of this story, and Roy Keane's off the deep end and he's crazy, he's calling out all the kids, so that then they could take the action that they later took?
Well, that's
not that they knew it was going to get that far, but maybe they just wanted to start cutting the relationship. But it ended up being severed much quicker than anyone expected.
I think what's been concluded is that, for sure, the actual product is not as toxic as was first reported at the time or how it was depicted. And it was actually in the likes of Ferguson's interest to spin the narrative how he saw fit. So he hammed it up to be something like hugely detrimental. And that was almost the weapon he used to get Keane out the door. Whereas if the real thing had have been like televised, they would have lost all control over it. So there's definitely something to that, I think.
But
it suited Ferguson to some extent.
Yeah, I do understand why they didn't air it. Like, we're saying now, oh, geez, maybe it's not the monster it was made out to be, so they've screwed him. But actually, if you think about it, if they had just aired it and unawares Roy Keane, the captain, had just said all of these things when we weren't anticipating something horrific, I mean, Ferguson is not going to allow that to happen. He can't just let that go out on MUTV.
I know we're all of us all Keane's side here and so on. Sort. It doesn't sound great.
I wouldn't be on Keane's side.
No, but maybe I'm talking about myself then. It's like I always like tend towards Roy's righteous side, but it doesn't sound great. Like, no. I mean, it's fair enough to be saying, oh God, Darren's got to do better there, or these young lads got to understand that there's more to playing for Manchester United than, you know, they have to make the runs, they have to do the dirty work.
Kieran Richardson's not a great defender. It's hardly like groundbreaking revelation.
Yeah, that's fine. But the stuff like, why are people raving about Darren Fletcher is... it's unfair. Like, it is. Yeah.
That's Keane being the victim of his own. That's him being the victim of his own wit. It's such a great line. You know, like, it's the kind of thing he'd say now on Sky Sports.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. He was actually playing the pundit.
Yeah. What Taylor obviously says, I mean, the key thing is maybe the video isn't what is the final straw. Obviously, it's the issue in the office. And that's ultimately where Ferguson goes apoplectic. Like, Rooney's talking about he'd never seen anything like it. And there's the famous line about Carlos Queiroz and, do you train the same way every day? And then he makes a reference to Carlos Queiroz's love life, which Taylor says, you know, the language was more coarse maybe than the make love version of events which was used. I mean, it's hard to imagine Roy saying the words make love. I don't know.
Is that the one where Ferguson, either in that second book, where he talks about the that his eyes, Keane's eyes, he refers to the eyes.
Yeah, like just little black just beads.
Little black beads. So it's very interesting to hear it flipped, I suppose, from that point of view of that Ferguson being so apoplectic. But it's like, God, that's the one you want to be in, rather than the tape. I want to see that. I want to see what happens there.
Yeah, and I would say as well, the fact is that season, you remember, there was arguments in pre-season in Portugal over the accommodation, and Keane is 33 and he's more injury prone. Like, there is no doubt, and this is probably the key point with it all, if Keane is 28 years old when this happens, there's a way around this very, very quickly.
I wonder, is there a parallel now? Is there a player of similar stature? It's possibly Ronaldo, where MUTV look at this video and think of the numbers this would do for us, because Man United's social is clearly their priority at the moment. So, like, think of how popular this video would be if Ronaldo just ran roughshod over his teammates, which he routinely does on the field for all to see anyway.
Well, the concluding part is, as for what happened to the tapes, the word from Old Trafford at the time was they were immediately destroyed. But that was never true. Almost certainly a ruse to put journalists off the scent. There's so much gravitas to this.
Ruse.
This is the most important story of our time.
I was picturing Ginny Weasley in the Chamber of Secrets type, like, just kind of destroying Tom Riddle's diary. But it didn't happen like that.
I didn't expect the Harry Potter reference.
Oh dear, Tom Riddle. Instead, writes Daniel Taylor, it turns out there were four copies.
Ooh.
The reason there are four copies, all filmed from different angles. Okay. TV, there were four cameras. Gil locked them all in his safe. Are they still gathering dust somewhere? One senior figure is convinced United still have at least one copy. Gil has never spoken about it.
This sounds like a Holy Grail kind of thing, that you could go searching for one of the four tapes.
Get Tom Hanks on the case.
They were definitely destroyed, for sure.
But you'd be mad not to destroy them at this stage.
Yeah. But surely he doesn't still have that safe. He's not worked there for 10 years.
No, I'd say he's safe in his office.
Imagine in his house. Okay,
David Gill reading this article this morning. Where did I put those tapes?
I don't even have a safe.
Such a sorry end, wasn't it? And Taylor remembers as well, I didn't, you don't quite remember these things, but there was a press conference in the morning, the day that it was announced he was gone, and Ferguson is in unbelievably charming form. Mm. He's joking with the journalists. He was saying, you know, Bayern Munich have a press conference every day. Can you imagine that? I can't summon up the energy to do these once a week, and joking with them and saying thank God, because there was an international break coming up. He was saying, like, thank God for that. Somebody asked whether there was any update on the new contract that Keane was supposed to be getting. Ferguson said, no, there was no update. Then within a few minutes of the journalist leaving, statement arrives, Roy Keane has left Manchester United. Everything had been done at 8 a.m. It was classic Fergie, a brilliant stitch-up, perfectly executed.
Yeah. There's a sadness to it all that still exists, I think. But I have to say that ultimately, it's a question, I guess, for you guys. Was it a good thing that this happened for the legacy, not the legacy of Roy Keane, but for everything that came after it? So what did we get out of this? We got Roy Keane going to Celtic to end his career, won a league title. It wasn't amazing, but, you know, it had that moment. We also had, you know, some of the greatest conversations that were ever around football, not least by the RTÉ panel and Eamon Dunphy and everything like that, that you know, and Rod Little and so on and so forth. We also had the greatest gift grub moment of all time with the Leave Right Now song that came the week after this, you know. So that they're just three things.
If you are a Manchester United fan, it is so dreadful when you think about it that they were sitting on a plane a few seats apart from each other a couple of years ago and didn't say anything to each other.
Like, I found it very sad when you were talking to Keane at the, you know, and he was obviously playing up and making jokes and stuff, but ultimately when it came down to it, it's like, would you forgive Alex Ferguson? It was a no. Yeah. And it's like, he's still holding on to this, and it's a genuine thing that all these years later, he's holding on to this, the severing of the relationship rather than the relationship. And that's a terrible thing. Mm.
But you would be so angry in his position.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you really, really, and you really would feel
the 11 and a half years versus the 12 and a half years that he brought up so many times, that was the ultimate disrespect, was that they didn't give him they didn't in their statement acknowledge the right amount of time that he'd been at the club.
And all the times he would have played for them injured, all the times he would have sacrificed his body to the detriment of his longevity, all the many sacrifices, and to just be turfed out that way. I don't think you'll ever get over it, but it is such a pity when you think of Ferguson's statue unveiling and how close they once were, that there is going to come a day where it'll be too late to make amends. And, you know, even that'll be, I think, an odd day in Roy Keane's world, potentially, you know?
Can you ever imagine them getting on, though? And to be honest, I wouldn't have, like, while I've sided with Keane growing up, the more and the older I get, the more I read about him. I'd have very little time for Alex Ferguson. He treated an awful lot of people appallingly bad. An awful lot of people who did an awful lot for him. Awful bad. Like, same with Ruud van Nistelrooy when he goes, kind of the year after. David Beckham.
The Yapstam. Was
like, God almighty, like, what? Like, all these guys.
Beckham's behaved in a way that Keane could never bring himself to, which is, no matter how iffy it became for a period, he just always talked about Ferguson in reverential terms. And, you know, as time has passed, I think Ferguson has softened once again to Beckham. But, like, Keane is just never going to do that. And I don't know who's more likely to initiate some kind of rapprochement now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we both know the answer to that question.
No,
that
it's like joint last.
Not going to happen. Yeah. And it's the two people involved. And the only chance. This is such a weird thing. It's like the pressure was on you, Joe. But the only chance is a conciliatory word in an interview or something like that, where they're willing to let it go because they're not going to ring up each other.
Roy Keane and Alex Ferguson at the board, gosh, that's the only way we can make it happen.
Instead of Grow Park.
Well, I always thought a chance encounter might have been the moment. And obviously, you know, football's a small world. They could end up at the same UEFA, FIFA conference or something.
Or on the same airplane.
Or on the same airplane, but clearly it didn't happen there.
No, I don't think it's happened. And even reading back out with Van Nistelrooy. And Ferguson talks about it in his book. Van Nistelrooy calling him up. I don't know what it was about, but he was calling him up, I think, to apologise for something that he'd said to him or something. And Ferguson's tone in the book is still kind of, from the very get-go, it's never like, ah, well, bygones be bygones. It's fine. It's like, ah, I presume he's calling me, talk about a move or something. He wants to do something. He wants back. He wants. And he never pulls that back around. It's never a case of like, oh, I had it wrong. No. And it's just, that's like, ah, just forget it. And it's just kind of, it's so... It was that same thing. It's like, no player should be paid more than me at the club.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like talking. It's just, it's a scandalous thing. And you can't overlook the fact how the focus on self-preservation. Because Man United were cat at that stage.
No, it was bad. It was. But where you would have to have sympathy for Ferguson as manager is, okay, the MUTV thing has happened. It can't go out on air. Team meeting. Watch it in front of everyone. Someone like Edwin van der Sar, who's not a kid, says, Roy, I think you could have used a different tone. He gets the Roy Keane response. That's where, it's from that moment on, when van der Sar is a senior player saying, yeah, I didn't think it was great. It's at that moment you kind of have to say, yeah, look, okay, lads, probably shouldn't have said it publicly, but I mean, I did think you were all rubbish in that game. We're going to have to pull up our socks. But fair enough. Are we all good? I take what you're saying, Edwin. Are we all good? We're all good. Gaffer,
and that
sorry.
Might be Keane's biggest flaw,
yeah.
Is that in that moment, you're not having a discussion. It's Roy or you're either with him or against him. Whereas, like, you know, if van der Sar is saying that, there's no reason for Keane to go off the deep end and attack him again, having already done so. You know, sometimes you just have to say, right, okay, look, whatever, right, that's your opinion. Jesus, can we just get on with it, you know?
That's where it is a tough situation for Ferguson, who's obsessed with power, as we know.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to let him go there and then. And there's plenty of ways to manage it.
Suffice it to say, if Keane is 25 rather than 35, he's not.
Well, that's the key.
He's not getting rid of him.
No.
So it was very convenient in that instance to pull the trigger in that one. And you know, when Ferguson made these decisions, they tended to be like that level of convenience, like the Van Nistelrooy one, trying to segue into a team which was built around Ronaldo and Rooney, so he could accommodate Van Nistelrooy leaving. But there were ones which were just out of spite, like the Stam one was crazy. He was the best centre-back in the world and remained so for the next three or four seasons.
I think he admits he got that one wrong. Even he's had to admit he got that one.
Well,
is it defining for Keane at United? So I don't think it maybe defines his overall time, but I think it probably more than one moment is like the way he left is nearly more important than any of the individual things he does. It's probably that or Juventus, isn't it? Like in terms of the way people would
definitely
think of his relationship.
I mean, his legacy there is obviously so phenomenal, and even you see the overlap the other night when he walks out, he gets the most popular reception, and United fans just love him forever. I think there's a degree, actually, of just sadness and sympathy for him, and almost like a sympathy that like, oh, Roy's not going to handle that situation well, and it blew up in his face, and there's almost a kind of sorrow about that, as in that must have been very painful for you, and he couldn't help himself almost.
Yeah, they understand that it's partly his fault, it's partly his flaw,
yeah,
but that's just the kind of guy he is.
It's Shakespearean, really. Yeah. It is the fatal flaw, and so there's an added level of, oh, jeez, and it ended so badly and it's not great. And, you know, it's not like the United fans are with Ferguson against Keane or vice versa. It's like they're still probably in the top five most popular amongst Manchester United fans today.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
poor Roy is basically the ultimate point.
It's all very dramatic. So look, there's at least one copy, if not four, of the tape sitting in a safe somewhere. So
Daniel, does anyone Taylor know David Gill's address? No,
we didn't say that. Daniel Taylor of The Athletic with the piece. If you want to read it, it's well worth checking out. Ronan, Arthur, Mick, thanks very much. Tom Riddle was the high point of that conversation, but we did our best.